Good morning. Welcome to our service, and a special welcome to all the visitors that we have worshipping with us this morning. In particular, the representatives from the churches in our cluster group. We have visitors from Craigie Buckler, Holborn West, Kingswells, Manifield, and Peter Cooter. And to the members of the Cults congregation, I would say, see if you can identify our visitors and introduce yourselves. And if you get it wrong and you speak to somebody who's been sitting behind you for the last 10 years, don't worry about it, you can say you're a visitor as well. Following the service, tea and coffee are served in the hall at the back of the church, and I would encourage you to come through and join us. Ewan is currently on study leave, and I'll shortly hand over to the worship group who will be leading worship this morning, but first I have a couple of things to bring to your attention. This morning, every one of the 4,000 churches in Scotland has been asked to participate in a census. It's the most comprehensive survey of churchgoing that's ever been undertaken. And everyone should have been given a form to fill in as they came in. Please complete the form and leave it in the box beside the door as you leave the church. There's one at each door. Even if you don't want to answer the questions, please put the form in the box so that we can work out how many people were here. More forms are available, and we need one for every single person, babies, whatever. Intimations are contained within the order of service, but there are a couple that I want to mention. Well, the first thing is, Maureen has asked me to tell you that nearly £600 was raised for Christian Aid at the coffee morning yesterday. And many thanks to everyone who came along and supported that. Messy Church. There's a Messy Church on Thursday this week. And Debbie is looking for pasta bakes. And if you can do a macaroni cheese or perhaps pasta with tomato sauce, can you please speak to Debbie afterwards? On Friday evening, Jenny McAllister Hall will be speaking about the time that she spent working in Malawi. And this is a great opportunity to hear firsthand about what is happening out there. It's at 7:30 in the Kirk Centre, and refreshments will be provided. Please support this. And next Sunday, immediately following the morning service, the 6 congregations in our cluster group will be coming together to celebrate Pentecost at Craigie Buckler Church. The plan is to have a slightly shorter service in each congregation and then leave straight from church to go to Craigie Buckler for a bring your own picnic. So you bring a picnic with you and you eat it at Craigie Buckler, either in the gardens or in the hall if the weather's poor. At around 1:30, a special service of worship will take place, which will feature a joint praise band, a joint choir, drama, readings, and uplifting music to celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. And you're urged to come along and celebrate Pentecost in a different way this year. It should all be done by around about 2:30. So that's the intimations, and it's over to you, Debbie. Thank you.
Good morning. I would just like to add my own welcome to worship this morning and a special welcome to all the visitors we have with us. As Graham said, it's members of the worship group that are taking the service today. It doesn't seem that long ago since Ewan was on study leave before, but it's probably been quite a few years. And I remember last time wondering how, as a congregation, we would manage without him for the few weeks that he was away, but we did manage. And I'm sure that we will manage this time too. And although we miss having him around, we wish him a restful and thriving study leave and ask God for his safe return. We open our worship this morning with hymn 449, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Hymn 449.
Thank you. morning, all you nice young people. I'm so glad to see so many sitting down at the front. And a nice little girl over there, if I remember, was baptised very, very recently. Welcome. This morning, I want to ask you guys if any of you have ever broken a wrist or a leg. Have you ever been in plaster? Nobody? Lucky you. But you can imagine, I guess, what it's like if you've got a plaster. When I broke my wrist, there were so many things I couldn't do. I could feed myself because I still had this hand working. When I broke my ankle and I had to go on crutches, I was really incapacitated. I was not very good on crutches. So when I tried to hop, I was having to hold on to other people. But I could still eat, I could feed myself, and I was reasonably okay, but I did need help. Now, we have a story in the Bible where Jesus met four people who were suffering from a disease called leprosy. Now, does anyone know what leprosy is? Anybody? Well, it's a disease, it's still around, but nowadays there are cures. It can be cured, so it's not a terminal illness. It can be cured. But in the days when Jesus walked, it couldn't be cured. There was no known cure. And it's a nasty disease where the nerves, the end nerve endings, all wither up. So you can't use hands, fingers, sometimes round the mouth. So it can be really difficult to eat. Now, I want a couple of volunteers so that I can demonstrate something to you. Come on. Be brave. Come on. Right. I thought this would be easier than bandages. So if you give me your hand. Yes, Jesus, as you know, performed many miracles. But one of the miracles he performed was he cured four people. But only one of them came back to say thank you. Now, you can ponder as to why only one person came back to say thank you. These are clean, by the way. I can't get them out. There we go. Now, there we go. That should keep that tight in there. No problem. And we'll give the other one as well. And then you can see how you can get on. Yes, so one of the things that we all learn, I think, at school from our parents is that when somebody does something nice for us, we say, what do we say? What do we say? Thank you. Yes, of course we do. As I say, you can speculate as to why three of the people that Jesus cured didn't say thank you. Perhaps initially they were just so overjoyed, or maybe they thought it was a dream. Am I dreaming? I'm better. How has this happened? So we can only speculate on that. But one person did come back. Now, we've got to have a little experiment here. You've been very, very good. I'll have you up any time. Right, get all that up. Now, let me see what I've got here. Now, we have an experiment. How are you going to manage?
I don't know.
No, right, very good. But, you see, I'm here, and all your friends are there, and they'll help you. Would you like one? Right. I can put it into your mouth. There you go. But you can't eat yourself. Now, I've got a little baby here. She's already all bandaged up. And sometimes people's faces had got the disease, so they couldn't eat. You can eat, which is fine, but sometimes they just had maybe a straw so that they could get liquid in. So it wasn't a very nice disease. Okay, now you can go back to your seat. And you can take these with you. I have a little, well, it's a sort of prayer and it's a sort of little hymn. It's something I learned when I was about your age at school. I was in primary school. And when the worship group met to plan today, for some reason, you may say it was God's will, this prayer came into my head. Now, if I can hand it out, and I would like you to say it along with me, okay? We used to be able to sing it, but I don't think I'll chance the singing bit here. Now, there's a problem. Somebody will hold it for you. It's one of the things about some illnesses, it does pick out who are your friends and how they will help you. Okay, can we say it all together? We'll just start. Thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. Thank you for the birds that sing. Thank you, God, for everything. Thank you. We'll now sing hymn 180.
To thank God with our prayers of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Ever gracious and ever growing God, the love that never lets us go. Creator, turning every spring into summer. Redeemer, dispelling guilt and bringing hope. Sustaining spirit, blowing away the cold and stale. Thank you for May, the month of buds and blossom, of fresh starts and spring cleaning, of growth and new beginnings. Thank you for May, the month of talking and business, of general and local elections, of General Assembly, of school tests and university examinations. Surprise and delight us with the lambs and the flowers. Blow away the cobwebs and fill the streams and fountains. Refresh us and warm us in the dew and in the sun. Help us to hear your still small voice, to discern your purpose behind the noise and the hype, to listen to your prophets and not just your strident advocates, to follow those who follow where your son still leads us, playing, piping, singing in the great May dance. Father, we should not just thank you for May, but for all the other months of the years that come to us. They're all different, they're all unique, and they each have their own beauty. Help us never to tire of seeing all the things you have given us in your beautiful world. Amen.
Words from the saints. A word from St. Paul. Be always humble, gentle, and patient. Show your love by being tolerant to one another. Do your best to preserve the unity which the Spirit gives you by means of the peace which binds you together. There is one body, there is one Spirit, there is one hope to which God has called his saints.
A word from St. Teresa.
Be careful lest praise from others harm you, especially when people tell you that you're more saintly than others. Remember how John the Baptist was extolled, then beheaded, and how our Lord was praised on Palm Sunday, then derided on Good Friday. Struggle with your own heart against dangerous flattery.
A word from St. Francis. Our place is to be with the suffering, the lepers, the starving, in the depths of their hearts, as in the hearts of even the saintliest person. There sleeps a horrible, unclean larva. Lean over it and say to this larva, I love you, and it will sprout wings and become like a butterfly. O God of love, we bow to your power. Come and kiss us and accomplish your miracle. We will now continue our worship by singing hymn 360, Jesus Christ is Waiting.
You are so.
you welcome Alan Jackson from Holborn West, who's going to do our reading this morning.
The reading this morning is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. As Jesus made his way to Jerusalem, he went along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going into a village when he was met by 10 men suffering from a dreaded skin disease. They stood at a distance and shouted, "Jesus, Master, take pity on us." Jesus saw them and said to them, "Go and let the priests examine you." On the way, they were made clean. When one of them saw that he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself to the ground at Jesus' feet and thanked him. The man was a Samaritan. Jesus said, "There were 10 men who were healed. Where are the other 9? Why is this foreigner the only one who comes back to give thanks to God?" And Jesus said to him, "Get up and go. Your faith has made you well." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. Amen.
The same story has been paraphrased by Hilary Faith Jones in her book Waiting for Jesus, which was published by the Leprosy Mission International. And it gives a different insight to the story in Luke. There was a strange comradeship among the 10 of them. Of course, they fought and squabbled, fell out amongst themselves, but when one stumbled, he would be carried between them. When one could not see, the others became his eyes. When one could not bear the deadness of the others understood, knowing what each went through. At the end of the day, it was them against the world, living together, dying together, burying their own, broken and numb against a world of feeling. In a world that was riddled with barriers, they were a group that had learnt to accept each other because they had a common exclusion and a common fate. They shared the same disease that killed all feeling, the taken for granted glory of the body. They lived on the outskirts of the village, in the scrap of land where no one journeyed. Sometimes they would sit on the rubbish heap and watch the children play, their legs showering the dust as they chased. Sometimes they caught a frightened smile from one of the women, leaving them food. Very occasionally they heard news from faraway homes, a wedding, a death, a birth. And always they carried the hatred of the bell of fear, the hatred of calling out unclean to warn the healthy away, and always, at all times, the desperate longing to be whole, to be normal, to be loved. It was enough to break the soul, overwhelming hopelessness. They heard the rumor that he was coming, so they slipped and struggled and pulled each other to the brink of the hill, within sight of the road, yet far enough away to escape the stone throwing. He was unmistakable and unmissable. Instinctively, they set up their wail, both eerie and haunting, on the air. The group of men with him glanced and carried on, but the one in their midst stopped and turned to them. Immediately, a renewed urgency swept through them as sudden hope flared. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." The call started to be picked up by them all. And as each joined in, each in their own way begging, each offering themselves for healing, a tremendous power could be felt, strengthening and emboldening them. The one stepped towards them, and in that movement, the invisible bonds of the disease were broken. As he came closer, the heat poured through them, a burning fire that scorched into their numbed bodies, sent fire sensations through their fingers and toes, legs and faces that had been long dead. "Go and show yourselves to the priests," his voice sent the fire soaring inside. Incredulous at what was happening, the group went wild, shouting and laughing and crying as forgotten glory and pain rippled through them. They ran delirious to the village, calling to all to come out and see them leaping and hurtling through the streets. And then one of them stopped. "Wait, I want to go back." They were laughing too much to listen, unable to stop, simply desperate to get home. "Wait," he called, but they ran on, starting to leave the group, each heading for his own village. He turned and ran back, scrambled up the hill and over the brink, calling to the group still on the road. By the time he caught them, he was breathless, the excitement shining through him. He pushed through to the one, couldn't stop, flung his arms around him, kissed his face and hands, and finally, kneeling on the ground, his feet. "Thank you, thank you, thank you." The men were laughing all around him, reaching out to touch him, the noise and exhilaration setting the air alight. "Where are the others?" the one asked. The man tried to catch his breath and steady his heart. "I had to come back, had to thank you." The one took in the different accent, looked down into the face of utter love upturned to him, alive with hope, with life, with bursting delight. And he pulled him to his feet. "Go home, my friend. Your faith has made you well." The man clutched him tightly and then let go. Started to walk the long walk home, but couldn't control the amazing feeling inside and broke into a run. His head back, his lungs full of clean air, he ran with sheer joy before suddenly turning back. He called, "I shall never forget you. I will thank God all my life for you." And in the distance, the one raised his arms to him, and the reply came echoing back. "And I for you, my friend, and I for you." We will continue the service with hymn 718. "We cannot measure how you feel, how you heal. We cannot measure how you heal."
Thank you.
We start with 10 men who have the worst disease of their day. The physical ramifications are horrendous. Leprosy attacks the body, leaving sores, missing fingers, missing toes, damaged limbs. In many cases, the initial pain of leprosy gives way to something more terrible than that, a loss of sensation in nerve endings, leading to more damage to more body parts. The disease can take 30 years to run its course, and in that time span, entire limbs can simply fall off. It is a most horrible disease, and it's impossible for us to try to imagine what it was like 2,000 years ago when medical treatment, as we know it today, was almost non-existent. And the emotional pain of a leper must have been even worse than the physical pain. He was removed from his family, from his community. There could be no contact whatsoever with his children or grandchildren. None. Immediately removed. His wife would not even be allowed to kiss him goodbye. He would not have allowed it for fear that she too would become afflicted. Lepers tended to roam together looking for food, begging for assistance from a great distance, learning to yell in loud voices, both from the need to warn others and to beg for help from across the way. What would it have been like to have been banished from friends and family for a lifetime and to have been forced to announce that removal on a daily basis? It must have been horrible. You've probably touched more people this morning than the leper touched in years. Today you've been close to friends or family. Maybe a child has been in your lap. Maybe a hug met you at the door, or a touch on your arm from a friend. In this account, 10 men encounter Jesus and hear him say the most unusual thing. "We want to be well," they scream at Jesus, and the great teacher responds, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." The local priest had duties other than leading worship on the Sabbath. He was also something of a health official. If a person was miraculously healed of leprosy, it was up to the priest to inspect the body, to test for a complete removal of the disease, and to announce the person healed. In such cases, the person would have been cleansed, and at that point, it would be fine for the leper to see his wife again, to hold his daughter again, and to look for work again. If the priest gave him the okay, he would be healed. Now Jesus says to these lepers, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." They look down at their bodies. The hands of one man are still mangled. Another man looks at his leg, which ends in a filthy rag at his knee. Another looks at his skin and finds it as repulsive as ever. In other words, all of these men were no better off than they had been 10 minutes earlier when they'd first spotted the famous teacher. And yet, they headed off in search of the priests. And on their way, they were healed. On their way, a hand reappeared and tingled with life. The leg was back, healthy, whole, and complete. The skin cleared, and the tiny hairs on forearms turned from snow white to brown. One looked at the other, another looked at the rest, and the screaming started. The smiles broke into cheering and a sweet madness. They raced off in the distance, not believing that their nightmare was finally over. But in order for the miracle to happen, these men had to start walking in faith before their circumstances had changed one tiny bit. Jesus often said the word, and it was done. But here, Jesus offers healing in a different way. He told the lepers to go and show themselves to the priest, and as they went, they were healed. They weren't healed instantly, they were healed as they followed Jesus' instruction. In this miracle, Jesus calls for an act of faith before the healing comes. Sending the lepers to the priest was needed for them to be considered clean, but when they started out, their skin wasn't any different. They might even have wondered why they were going to the priest, because nothing had changed. They weren't healed, So what was the priest going to do? But they went because they believed that Jesus had the power to do something. They trusted him and they acted as if they were going to be healed. But while all 10 lepers were healed, it says that only one returned to Jesus to say thank you, and he was a Samaritan. And so Jesus holds him as an example of what it means to be faithful. It might have been quite difficult for his disciples and all the others, followers of Jesus, to understand and accept this healing because they didn't believe that the Samaritans deserved the love of God. They were people that no one in Israel thought deserved to be cared for or helped, and yet here is Jesus caring for them. And that's because the power and the love of God is for everyone. Today it's still too easy for us to see some people as beyond the grace and love of God. We can be quick to judge others and believe that God's love simply can't reach or should even reach those who live differently to us. But God is not here just for us. God is here for and loves everybody. We may struggle with how people choose to live their lives. We may think that some people, some nations, or even some religions are beyond the ability for God to care for. But this story shows us that God really does love all and offers salvation to all. And it is salvation that Jesus offers the leper, not just healing. When he came back to thank Jesus, Jesus said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And that word "well" means saved. Jesus didn't just heal the man. He said, "You're saved." Jesus offered him the grace of God, which brings the fullness of God's life. And this is what God still offers to everyone. There are times when we might feel far from God and beyond God's reach. But God's love does reach us, and it forgives us and saves us if we're willing to come to Jesus. What sets the Samaritan leper apart from the others was he turned back to say thank you. Turning back begins with one simple thing. We stop. Notice that this man isn't running back to Jesus yet. He's just stopped. While the others are continuing on, he's stopped and he's looking at his hands and the healing that's taking place. He's thinking about what is happening and who's made it happen. He stopped to consider, and that's the first step in giving thanks. We stop. Gratitude requires us to stop long enough to notice what is going on in our lives and think about who has helped to bring these good things. One of the things we all struggle with today is being so busy that we fail to stop and reflect. We fill each moment with activity or diversion. And when we get to the end of the day, we fall into bed exhausted until the alarm goes off the next morning and it all starts all over again. Even our weekends aren't times of rest and reflection. They're just as full as the work days. And so we've lost the ability to reflect on what's going on in our lives and who's brought all the good things and all the valuable opportunities. And being thankful doesn't always come very naturally to us. So we have to make a habit to stop and reflect. Stop every day this week if you can and come up with a few things for which you can give thanks. It might be something little or it might be something big. But we need to begin the process of stopping long enough to reflect and see what's actually going on in our lives, so that we can give thanks. Even if everything's falling apart, we need to find that one thing that we can give thanks for. One of the things that's interesting about giving thanks in Jesus' day is that many people didn't do it the way we do. People wouldn't say thank you as much as they would find a way to repay the person for their kindness later on. So the other 9 lepers who were healed and didn't return to Jesus, they may not have been rude and arrogant or ungrateful. They may just have thought they would repay Jesus at some point in the future. But the leper who did return understood 2 important things. First, he understood that he might never get another chance to return to Jesus. Jesus was passing through, so he wouldn't have had the opportunity to repay him in the future. So he needed to do something right there and then. We always think we'll get another chance or another opportunity to say thank you or to set our lives right or to turn our lives around. But we may not. So we need to make the most of the moments we have today. Second, the man probably thought, how can I ever repay Jesus for this? He couldn't. But that's the thing. So instead of even trying, he simply returns to Jesus and doesn't say thank you, but he throws himself at Jesus' feet and praises God. He worships Jesus and gives him the only thing that he can, which is a heart full of love and appreciation. And that is what God wants from most of us, a heart full of love and appreciation. God doesn't want all the things we can give him or the things we can do for him. He doesn't want any attempts to repay him. What he wants is our heart and lives devoted to him. He wants us to worship him and allow that worship and love to shape our lives. Like the lepers who set off to see the priest before the healing came, we need to step out in faith and trust that God will work in our lives before the help and power comes. God might say, love me despite your disease, worship me despite your hardship or illness or fear. Follow me now despite the desperation. Say no to temptation now while it is difficult. Praise me in the darkest of nights and in the worst of circumstances. God, who loves us so much, he gives us the opportunity to be thankful when nothing about our circumstances gives us that motivation. We don't know what awaits us today or this week. Can we be thankful despite difficult circumstances? We have to take the steps first and then allow God's grace and power to help us. We need to respond by taking steps of faith, and we need to respond by learning to say thank you. We can't repay God for all that he's given us and all that he's done for us and continues to do for us. We can't repay God, but we can say thank you. And we do that by stopping long enough to notice all that God has done and is doing in our life. Gratitude draws us closer to God and closer to one another. This leper returned to Jesus, and because he did, he entered into a very different relationship with Jesus than the other 9. When we give thanks to God, not only do we draw nearer to God, but God draws nearer to us. Expressing our gratitude also draws us closer to one another. Saying thank you to people helps build, strengthen, and even heal relationships. This applies to those you love too, your partner, your children, your friends. Saying thank you for who they are and what they do and the joy they bring to your life. Nothing can scar you so badly that Jesus won't touch you. Jesus is willing to love, lovingly touch you and hold you and restore you. No sin has made you unlovable. Jesus is willing to call you his friend and stand beside you. No fear has disqualified you. No problem has put your life on hold. The miracle of thanksgiving is the love of Jesus for you. No exceptions, no qualifications, no doubts. He loves you. And for that, O God, we are so thankful. Amen. The offering will now be received, and as it is brought forward, the congregation sing verse 4 of When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, hymn 392, as the offering is brought forward.
Let us pray as we bring before God our prayers for others and ourselves. We ask you to accept our offerings, which are but a small token of our gratitude and love for you. Bless them and use them to further your works. Lord, you made this beautiful world in which we live. We thank you for bringing us through the cold winter to the coming of spring with its marvelous promise of new life. Our gardens are full of signs of new growth, reminding us of the new growth of life your love can bring to our lives. And we marvel and wonder how great thou art. Lord, you are the only true and living God, and we praise and thank you for seeking us, finding us, for holding us and renewing our lives. We bring before you those who are facing a time of illness and pain, and those who suffer in mind and spirit. We especially think of those coping with terminal illness, and for those close to them, giving them love and support. We remember those who are hurting, someone who is facing a time of bereavement or loss, someone who is facing the loss of employment, that has been their source of security and given them a purpose in life. Someone overwhelmed by a sense of unworthiness. Someone who feels if they are broken, experience failure or disappointment. And Lord God, we bring before you the suffering people of our world, and in particular, the places where people are experiencing division in their country through war and intolerance, where injustice and violence is rife. We remember those who are homeless, those who are traumatized by what they have faced and what they are to face. We pray for all those who care for each other. We thank you for their strength and energy, for doctors, for nurses, therapists, community carers, for family, friends, and neighbors. May they have a true sense of their own value and experience of the work they do. We bring you two forward, Joan and Ewan. They bring so much into our lives. Bless them and their families, and let them know how much we value them. We pray that Ewan will return from study leave feeling renewed and refreshed, and we will miss him. And Lord, we pray for ourselves, that we may feel your healing touch in every part of our lives. And may your love and compassion reach out to heal us from our anxieties, fears, any concerns, so that nothing would hinder our witness for you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers and touch all these situations with your grace and love. Amen. We will now close the service with our last hymn, hymn 501, Take This Moment.
Wherever we go, may the joy of God the gracious be with us. Wherever we go, may the face of Christ the kindly be with us. Wherever we go, may the compassings of the Spirit of grace be with us. Wherever we go, the presence of the Trinity around us to bless and to keep us.